magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go
to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up, and welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 433. Sorry we did not have a show for you last week. Eli was traveling, and I was deathly ill, and it turned out we were going to try and do something, depending on how Eli's hotel Wi-Fi was or whatever, but we didn't even get to that point because I was so near death on Thursday and Friday, so... apologize for missing a week, but hopefully that just got you even more excited for a supersized episode today.
Well, the hotel Wi-Fi was shitty anyway, so it probably wouldn't have worked.
Well, it's for the fucking
case.
It's for the best.
Let's see here. I have a interesting thing to talk about that look up on my phone what it is called. So I got a new pair of glasses, which is exactly like my old pair of glasses, like you do. I used to, like, a million years ago, I used to work in an eye clinic, so I know, like, all the lingo and shit, which, like,
yeah,
you know, whenever I go get glasses, they're always like, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about, okay, cool, like, let me tell you about, like, the other shit that we can get that's not just like the basic plastic single vision stuff, because you understand the value of this. So Essilor, which is a lens company, has started pushing this product called Eyezen Start, which is a fancy new way that they're grinding lenses. So typically, you've never worn glasses, have you?
No.
So your glasses are, they grind the lens of the glasses, so your optical center is like where your pupil is, and that's like the sweet spot of your glasses, like exactly where you're looking at, like straight ahead. So which is fine, you know, for most things. But what's interesting is that most, like, now within the age of like smartphones or whatever, like if the optical center is straight ahead and you spend a lot of your time looking down at like a 45 degree angle or whatever, like that's not in the sweet spot of your glasses. So like you're not, so like the way that these are made is that it actually has two optical centers for a single vision prescription. So I have an optical center for looking straight and an optical center for like looking down at my phone. And it's kind of fucking crazy what a difference it makes.
So did you just like, do you just get used to the way it used to be and have to like tilt your head a weirder way or hold your phone out straight in front of you or whatever? Or
not,
did you just
really
deal with it?
But I could just like kind of tell with like my prescription, like, you know, because I have like astigmatism and stuff, and things aren't like always straight if you're not like looking, there's like a curve for everything. So
so now you look down and it's like crystal clear and it's weird.
It is weird how easy it is.
That's pretty smart, but also kind of sad that they have to make special glasses so you can look down at your phone so much.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, yeah, that does seem kind of weird, but I do look at my phone an awful lot, so
yeah, sure, it's worth it.
Let's do it, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of weird though. I shouldn't be able to see my phone as well as I do with these glasses. So I guess if you're in the market for glasses anytime soon, ask your optical professional of choice about Eyezen Start lenses.
Do they go by optical professional?
I don't know. Well, because I know like some people go to like ophthalmologists and some people go to optometrists and stuff. Yeah. So.
We go to Costco.
That's probably an optometrist.
Oh, okay. That's really cool. I've never even heard of that or even thought about that being a problem.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Like there was like a YouTube video on it about how they're talking about like the crazy math that goes into like making sure that you can still see in like every direction, but you have these two sweet spots without like a weird awkward center in the middle. And it's, I don't know, kind of, I don't understand how it works. So
yeah.
It's like one of those things I was thinking about with this, like, is always an interesting thought experiment to be like, oh, if you had a time machine and you just like got teleported back in time to like the 1800s, like think of all the stuff that you could like do and tell people. But like, really, it's like most of the stuff that we use on a day-to-day basis, like I might understand the concept of how it works, but like actually making it or doing anything with it, I have no fucking idea. You know, like
go back to the 1800s and just make a smartphone.
Like you couldn't do that. What are those things on your face? Oh, they're called glasses. They make me see better. Oh, how do they work? Well, you just kind of grind glass. Oh yeah, how? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess it's the only pair we'll have.
I don't fucking know. You know, it's like, you know, anything else.
Yeah, that's why I would only travel time to go back and make sports bets. That's the only valid reason. Sports
bets, or no, you know what you do is you buy like AT&T stock when it was brand new and just like put it in a safety deposit box somewhere when it was still like stock certificates and forget about it.
I always think about that. Like, even like, if I had half a brain when I was like 18, 19, when, well, I guess I was, how old? When the iPod came out, like 2001, I guess I was like 20 or 21. But when the iPods first came out, that was like I got into Mac computers and iPods like around the same time. And if I was even sort of smart, just buying like a handful of shares of Apple stock back then would be insane how much it has grown since then. But and I would have been all on board because I was like all about Apple back then.
The thing is, though, like particularly with stock stuff, is if you would have bought Apple at like $50 or whatever, and then it went up to like $150, you know, before it split or you know all the other activity over the years, like wouldn't you just have been like, oh my god, like I tripled my money, this is fucking amazing, like
I'm out,
get out of this, this is crazy, like how much better could it be? I mean, because like there's a good example, like I bought Tesla stock at around like $300 or whatever. It shot up to like $550 one day, and I was like, "This is great. I'm out. Done. Perfect." Yeah. And now I like now it's like around like $800 or so, and like I don't know, man. Like, it could have just as easily gone back down to fucking $200.
That's part of the game, I guess. I think I would if I made significant enough money, sell some of it, keep a lot of other, and see what happens or something like that. But I don't know. I've never owned a stock.
Yeah, well, not missing much other than a lot of irritation. You can download the Robinhood app and buy like fractional stocks.
Robinhood.
Yeah. I haven't fucked with it, but that's the thing that is cool, I guess.
It's so hard to, I don't know, turn down the 0.01% that my money's making in a savings account, though.
Yeah. I don't know. It's annoying.
Well, this is not a financial advice podcast because we don't have good financial advice, but also because it's a mobile gaming podcast, and we actually have a lot of mobile game news to cover.
Yeah, we should probably get to it.
A little bit into last week to
Which side do you want to start on?
Other side, actually. Yeah. Let's go backwards, or let's go from back to front. So this is one of the things that happened last week. Capcom announced a new Monster Hunter mobile game called Monster Hunter Riders. And this is kind of exciting. I've never been a Monster Hunter person in terms of the console games, even though I tried real, real hard on my PSP to play the whatever, second something, whatever one it was on the PSP that like essentially made the game blow up in the West. But I just could never do it. I couldn't get into it. I love the idea of Monster Hunter, and it's just not for me.
Yeah, but, I tried really hard to get into the, what was it, when the new 3DS came out, and that was like the game for it.
Yeah.
Like, I tried so hard to enjoy that game. It just sucks.
It's just,
it's so not for me. It's ridiculous.
It's really just, I can see how crazy you can get into it. And it's like one of the deepest games and there's so much little tiny stuff, but like I tried really hard. And I just couldn't do it. But one of the Monster Hunter games I actually did get into was Monster Hunter Stories, which came out on mobile like last year, the year before, but it was originally a 3DS game. The difference I think with that one is that it's more of like a defined RPG, and it's a lot easier in a lot of ways, but while still having a lot of the Monster Hunter sort of like things that make that series great or whatever. It's definitely like a easier entry point into the series. And so I love that game to death. And then this Monster Hunter Riders that they just announced looks an awful lot like it. It's kind of hard to tell exactly what type of game it's going to be, but I think it's going to skew more towards like a regular RPG in the Monster Hunter world, as opposed to like the massive sandbox regular Monster Hunter games or whatever. So that's kind of cool. Unfortunately, right now it's only been announced for Japan, and it actually launches later this month on February 29th on Leap Day.
This is a leap year this year, huh?
Yeah, it is a leap year. We get that extra day for game releases like this one. Nice. My gut tells me I think the Monster Hunter Stories did well when they released it on mobile in English or whatever. So I think they probably would want to translate this one and release it everywhere. But that stuff always takes time. So who knows when we'll see it. But I have a feeling we will see it. Or, I don't know, maybe it stays in Japan only. You never really know with stuff like this. So
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's
a body record.
This is an extremely polarizing series. This is so interesting to me about it. It's like, yeah, people like me, they're like, there's nothing I like about this game. And other people that are like, anything with Monster Hunter on the box, whether it's one of those dumb fuck Funko Pop things or, you know, a new video game.
It's just crazy because, like, the people who are into it, it's like, oh, yeah, 600 hours in Monster Hunter, whatever. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, that is just bananas. But, it's really cool. If you are similar and couldn't ever get into the Monster Hunter games, I would give Monster Hunter Stories a shot.
What's crazy, though, is like you ask people, like, be like, oh, so you're 600 hours in? Like, what does a typical play session look like? Be like, oh, I just grind these guys all day to get these, like, crystals to get a sword that has one more damage point on it.
That's true. And, I mean, if that's what floats your boat,
cool.
More power to you.
Cool, man. But, yeah. All right. Yeah,
Monster Hunter Riders, something we'll keep an eye on if it ever comes out west. And this was kind of this isn't really that related, I guess, but Disgaea 1 Complete launched on iOS.
Ultra Premium.
Disgaea? I don't know how you say it.
I don't know. This is one of these titles I've only ever read and I've never heard anyone.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had to say it out loud before this point.
I always pronounce it as Disgaea.
Disgaea.
But wrong. I don't know.
The original launched, it was a PlayStation game, if I'm not mistaken. And they re-released it on, I don't know, consoles and PC or something like that, in kind of like a revamped version or whatever. And now they've brought that, like, revamped version to mobile. Interestingly enough, it is selling for $33 as a premium mobile game release, which I think is really interesting. The reactions to this have been quite interesting too, because
$32.99, the same price as the Switch, isn't it? Isn't that the thing?
It's the same price. It's actually cheaper than on PlayStation 4 and Switch, although I don't know if those ones go on sale or whatever. But it's actually $50 over there. But I think you can buy like the original on Steam or something like that for $20, or I don't know, something like that, where it's cheaper. So there's been a lot of hemming and hawing over the price of this, and kind of with good reason, in terms of, like, a lot of people are like, I don't know if this game's going to work in a year from now, or, you know, whatever. And I think that's kind of fair, because you don't know if your games are going to keep working a year from now or not when you're on an ecosystem that is on yearly software updates and hardware updates and all that good stuff. So I don't know. But at the same time, if you really love this series and you really want one that can fit in your pocket and you can bust out and play whenever you want, that $30, even if you only play for a year, like, you know, that seems like, you know, money well spent, time well spent, if you like this game. So I don't know. It's been interesting watching people's reactions to this, but I did think it was interesting that NIS America decided to release this game at that price point, and it'll be interesting to see if they followed up with any, like, sales or anything like that, or if they just stick to their guns and keep it at this price. I mean, it's really in line. If it was like a 3DS game or something like that, it'd still probably be a little more. So I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy if you're really into this series and really want a version on your phone or your iPad.
I mean that's the thing. Like, I would have paid, I don't know, 30, like, if Stardew Valley, for instance, well, I guess Stardew Valley's $15 on the Switch. This is a bad example, but I don't know. There's definitely been games that I played on my console that, like, if I could have on my phone to fuck around with the same time, like, I would pay a lot of money because it's, like, such a cool game.
Yeah, it's kind of just, mobile's such a weird space that it's been morphed into this weird, nothing can cost that much money, you know, platform. So it's nice to see if somebody trying to do something different and curious how it'll end up working out for them. So I don't know. We'll see. And maybe they'll bring the other games in the series too, if it does well.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I mean, I hope that these games do good because I just like the idea of a $30 iOS game that can be successful. Like, that just seems
me
cool.
Me too. That feels like it should be the normal price for, like, really good games like that. Yeah. But I think until, before we get to that point though, there has to be some sort of built-in fail safe for, you know, running older versions of iOS or keep making sure games can be playable well into the future, regardless of what Apple does, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of a problem.
Kind of a problem. But anyway, another interesting story from last week was that the people that made Grim Valor, Direlight Studios, was a runner-up for our Game of the Year in 2018.
Oh, yeah, it's a really good game.
Really, 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 really good game. A lot of people have been asking for, you know, content updates and stuff like that, and they've actually been working on something. They are going to be releasing an update that has a new game plus mode, so that once you run through the game once and beat it, you can restart and presumably have new stuff or harder enemies or, you know, whatever the typical new game plus sort of stuff would be. But they're also translating it into a whole heap of new languages, which is another thing people have been asking for. Interestingly, they actually want to get some beta test help with the language stuff. So if you are fluent in simplified Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese, German, Spanish, Italian, French, or Russian, you can head over to, there's a link to the forum thread in the story, and send them an email or whatever to sign up to be a beta tester. And as a bonus for checking out the languages for them, you'll also get the version that has the New Game Plus stuff on it ahead of everyone else. So you can feel super cool and play a New Game Plus before the rest of the world.
I mean, I would feel super cool.
I would feel really cool about that. But otherwise, they don't really have a time frame for when this is going to be done, but it sounds like it'll be pretty soon. And I don't know, any reason to replay through Grim Valor is a good thing in my book, because that game is fun to replay as is. So I feel like with a New Game Plus, that's just like an awesome bonus. So
yeah, oh, that's cool.
That should be coming out pretty soon.
Everyone should have Grim Valor if you don't already.
Yeah, I will find you if you don't. This game has been in the works for several years, and we hadn't heard anything about it for a long time. Department Summer Catchers is a game that we looked at GDC 2017.
Oh, it's, yeah, I remember this from the Noodle Cake demo, the Noodle Cake Onslaught, where there was like, let me show you 20 games.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the games that Noodle Cake had been publishing or whatever. I always thought it looked so cool. So it's kind of like a side-scrolling driving game. Think of like, the names are escaping right now, but those side-scrolling driving games where you go as far as you can and then your car dies, and then you back out and you buy a bunch of upgrades and then you try again. And, you know, you get a little bit further next time because you got a better engine and better tires or whatever. It's kind of like those games, but it's story based and level based. And that kind of really interests me because the story and everything goes around with it looks really interesting. So I feel like if you can play one of those fun kind of compulsive upgrade cycle sort of side-scrolling driving games, but have it have a really cool story and really cool visuals and stuff like that, that's something pretty new. So this actually ended up launching on Steam last summer, I want to say, and seemed to get a pretty good reception over there. People seem to like the game or whatever. So I was always kind of wondering whatever happened to that mobile version that we saw all those years ago. As it turns out, it's actually up on the App Store for pre-order, App Store and Google Play, actually. And the release date is set for February 19th. So we finally get to play this game after wanting to play it 4 years ago.
Yeah, this thing looks super cool. I don't remember like what you really do in it, though. It's just like a see how far you can go thing, or?
Essentially, and then you buy different power-ups to let you pass through different obstacles and stuff like that. And you have to kind of like, you know, strategically manage what power-ups you take with you and things like that.
That's cool.
So it's kind of has those elements of like endless sort of elements, but also like level-based elements, kind of a hybrid, I guess. It does look really cool. You're playing the trailer. Do you know if you're muted or if you're super loud?
Hope I think it's muted. I don't know. Sorry if it's loud.
So if you didn't hear anything we just said, sucks to be you. No, just kidding. And then last thing I had from last week is just the game of the week was Spell Tower Plus, and I couldn't remember if we talked about it on the podcast or not, but
I don't think so. This was like brand new.
Yeah, so Spell Tower is a game that pretty much everyone listening to this should know. Launched back in 2011, is Zach Gage's one of his first big hits on mobile, and was just a really excellent word game that was kind of a mixture of Boggle, so you're kind of trying to search for words through a big jumble, but it was set up on a grid, and you would erase blocks by spelling words, sort of similar to Tetris. And then one of the main game modes is more rows of letters would come up from the bottom. And so you'd have to keep spelling words and make sure that your jumble of letters don't hit the top before, you know, you end your game or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like Spell Tower in a nutshell. And it came with a bunch of extra modes. He updated it with even more new modes and new features and stuff like that. And he's kept it maintained over the years. You know, when it needed to be updated for new versions of iOS or for new phone screens or whatever. So the original Spell Tower from 2011 has still been alive and kicking for all this time and still been a super playable, great state, and is just still one of the best word games, even like almost a decade later. So he came out and he announced that he's actually releasing something called Spell Tower Plus. It's a brand new build, a new separate app, and my initial reaction was like, I don't really understand what you can do unless you have like some drastically different new modes or whatever. Like, I don't really see how you can make that game better without just making a completely different game. But you should probably never question Zach Gage's design ability.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Because dude will make a near perfect game even better. And that's what Spell Tower Plus is. It's got all pretty much all the same original modes from the original game that you know and love. One big addition is that there's these bonus blocks now, so you have the ability to, with Scrabble double word scores or whatever, you have ability to kind of work those letters into your words and double or triple or more the scores of your words. So even if you're like a original Spell Tower savant, this game will kind of throw some new challenges at you and give you the ability to kind of earn some new scores and stuff like that. On top of that, it has a brand new mode called Search, which is basically has one key letter that you have to use, and then you have to spell the best word that you possibly can using that key letter, and it's surprisingly hard. And there's an online mode for that one, too, so you can do daily challenges against other people for that new Search mode, and then the regular Tower mode has a daily version as well, just like the original game did or whatever.
Cool.
Then there's a couple of other new additional modes that kind of just spice things up using the Spell Tower formula or whatever, and it's got kind of a slightly different color palette, better animations. It just feels cleaner and crisper all around, which is kind of saying something because the original Spell Tower was like such an elegant game. It's kind of just shocking that you can make something like that better. But
yeah, like very much like minimalist kind of,
yeah, super, you know, minimalist. And apparently I was talking to Zach about this, and he was saying he's eventually going to have to pull that old one off the store altogether. And kind of the thing that sparked off making this new version was that because that old version had been around so long and maintained for so many years or whatever, it was kind of getting to the point where it was going to be a breakdown, basically. So he just wanted to start fresh. And so that's what this new app is. And a nice thing about this is it's free with ads, I believe, and also like limited access to the different modes. But you can play basically the main portions of it for free if you want,
mm-hmm.
With no real restrictions other than having to look at ads and stuff. And then you can pay $5 to disable all the ads and unlock all the extra modes and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice over the original, too, in that if you never wanted to shell out money for the original Spell Tower, now you can try it for free and see if it's something you like. And decide for yourself if you want to pay $5 for it or not. And if you do, I can guarantee you probably got another decade of enjoyment in it for you, which is well worth the price. So Spell Tower Plus, playing it every day, sort of borderline obsessed with it again, which is fun because, you know, it's pretty much never left my phone, but I wasn't playing it like I did back in the day when it was newer.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to be playing it again.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I don't know. Zach Gage, everything he makes is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's which sounds weird, but it's
That's
true.
a super fair statement and true statement.
Yeah,
So,
it
yeah.
makes you wonder what his secret sauce is.
I don't know, that weird deal with the devil he made, I'm sure.
Monkey's paw wish. I wonder what the consequence was. I want every game that I release to be good. The monkey's paw curls.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe the monkey's paw, the consequence is every game he makes is good, but he can only ever release on mobile.
Oh, that would be a curse, wouldn't it? So moving into stuff from this week, Fire Emblem Heroes, it was announced that they're going to be doing the whole subscription VIP thing.
I'm actually surprised when I saw this come across Twitter. I was like, they're not already doing that?
You know, it's funny because Fire Emblem Heroes is the Nintendo mobile game that makes the most money, like, by far. And so you almost think that they've got a good thing going now. Do they really need, like, a VIP subscription? But those things have been doing so well. They added them into Animal Crossing and Mario Kart, and both of those subscription services seem to be doing well for Nintendo. So I feel like they look at it as, like, why the hell not? If people are going to pay weekly or monthly or whatever for this thing on top of...
What does their thing even cost? It's like $5 or something?
I don't know if it said...
$9.49 a month.
Holy moly. $10 a month. Wow.
This is insane to me. Like, it's truly crazy to see, like, people complaining about, like, the Game Club subscription price when it's like... Yeah. People are probably fucking, like, tripping over themselves to sign up for a $10 thing that gives them slightly better guys in Fire Emblem.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. If that's something you're into or whatever. What I find interesting is that I can't imagine there's anybody out there that, like, you know, is able to maintain, like, multiple of these games and remain on top in, like, all of them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you get into, like, a free-to-play game and you're really heavy into it, you're kind of only into that one for that period of time because you don't have time to be playing other games that are like that, that require lots of grinding and checking in and all that crap. So for me, I feel like, you know, somebody that's paying the subscription for Fire Emblem probably isn't also heavily into Mario Kart and paying for that one too, mm-hmm. and Animal Crossing on top of that. But then again, I don't know. But it'd be interesting too to see, like, how much big a bill could you rack up in monthly subscription fees for individual mobile games?
Yeah, it's insane. Speaking of Animal Crossing, did you pre-order Animal Crossing on the Switch?
I did not, but I will. Is it out for pre-order?
It's available as of today, yeah. Interesting thing about, I guess this is on topic since we're talking about Nintendo stuff. Sure. The eShop listing for Animal Crossing, let me see if I can just pull it up real quick while we're talking about it.
Oh yeah, the eShop is real quick.
Yeah. Let's see here. eShop has to do with the loading thing. oh shit, it's not going to show up because I already bought it, I think. Let's see.
What were you thinking?
So there's like a cloud save thing. That,
like an icon or something?
No, like, so hang on. Let me see if I can find the exact wording of it. It's interesting because, here we go. It, the fine print at the bottom is, this game does not support the save data cloud functionality of Nintendo Switch Online. However, what? The ability to recover Animal Crossing New Horizons save data from the server in the event of console failure, loss, or theft will be available to Nintendo Switch Online members sometimes in the future.
What?
And that, but the, here's the really confusing part, is the next line is, Animal Crossing New Horizons does not support the ability to transfer your save file from one Nintendo Switch system to another.
Oh my god.
So it's like you have two paragraphs. It says, the game does not support cloud save of Nintendo Switch Online. You can recover your save file through Nintendo Switch Online if your console fails, is lost, or is stolen, and then you can't transfer the save between devices. So it's like, which is it?
Yeah, there has to be something wrong there because I don't think Nintendo realizes how much they'd be shooting themselves in the foot for all the people that would buy whatever the next Switch revision is if they weren't able to bring their Animal Crossing progress with them. You know what I mean? Like, that would lock people into their existing hardware forever.
Well, see, what I wonder with this is, like, like, are they saying that you can't transfer with, like, the system transfer thing? Does it mean you can't transfer if you have, like, two switches and are playing between the two? Like,
no.
What's the...
But they really need to clarify and figure out what they mean by all that. Because
I was just...
That sounds scary.
Really surprised that they had the cloud stuff in there at all, because before they were like, oh yeah, it's not supported, just like Splatoon is not supported on Nintendo Cloud Save, which, like,
oh,
to
really?
Me it's insane, like, because these games that, like, Splatoon 2 particularly, like, the amount of time you can invest in that game to unlock everything is straight up insane.
Yeah,
and to have your save, like, not be backed up anywhere for reasons unknown is, like, kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
so,
well, I really hope that some sort of answer comes out for that, because
I even, like, looked on, like, so even on the Nintendo Who or the Animal Crossing subreddit, where people are, like, obsessing over everything about this, like, they apparently, like, no one seemed to have, like, picked up on this, which, like, I don't know, that seems
pretty, like, it's about time you blow the doors off this scandal, Eli.
I guess. I don't know.
That is really scary, though. Like, that's one thing. Man, for years now, I've been wishing Nintendo would get their act together in terms of online stuff that's, like, figured out by now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not been a problem for a long time to have, like, transferring data and stuff like that and backing stuff up to the cloud or whatever. And it seems like they're just so far behind with that stuff. And it matters. That stuff matters more and more every day. So,
yeah. The other kind of weird thing that people are sort of pissed off about with the new Animal Crossing, you can only have one town per Switch. So, like, if you do the thing on, like, because the Switch supports, like, multiple profiles and stuff, but everyone will play on the same town.
Huh.
Which that also seems like an odd decision to me.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know.
Well,
but yeah.
Keep me from buying it and playing it, so maybe I'm just part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, for me, like, I don't give a shit. Like, it doesn't impact me at all, but 42 days until we can find out how it all works, I guess, when it comes out.
Seems far away, but...
Well, if it wasn't a leap year, it would be one day sooner, so...
Curse this leap year.
And everything.
All right, my throat is failing me, so I'm going to see if we can get through the rest of this or not. So a game called PictoQuest launched on the Switch last summer from a developer named NanoPico, which is actually made up of previous pasta games people and some other creatives like that. But anyway, basically what it is it's a, I don't know, think of something like Puzzle Quest, like an RPG with puzzle mechanics built in. It's something like that, but instead of match three or whatever, it's actually... You're playing Picross puzzles, which I am a very big fan of Picross, and I think I've talked about
Picross and not Picross.
I say Picross.
It is Picross.
Picross, though, because it's pictures, or you could say nonograms if you want to be.
Well, so what's interesting? I looked into this when Paint It Back is on GameCube,
and
when we were doing all the marketing stuff surrounding it, I kept calling it a Picross game, and then I looked it up. I was like, oh shit, Nintendo has a trademark for Picross. We should probably not. Which is interesting. Like, I don't know what, like, we ended up calling them, like, a picture crossword puzzles or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, I think you can call them nonograms, but I feel like less people would know what that is.
Yeah. I mean, but... I didn't know what that is when I was like, oh, a nonogram, I guess is.
Yeah.
Like, everyone just calls it Picross, which.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless you're me and you call it Picross.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, PictoQuest is basically an RPG with nanogram puzzles built in, which is how you battle enemies and bosses and stuff like that and unlock chests. And it's really, really good. It's translated well to mobile, I think. It's a fully premium release, which I always appreciate. I think the one thing that I'm not crazy about is when you're playing on your phone and the puzzles start getting really big, there's not really an elegant, like, zooming feature or anything like that. And you have to be really careful about where you tap and what squares you fill in, because you can actually get penalized for filling in the wrong square. So if you do it by accident, it can kind of be annoying. That's kind of my main criticism with it. Or I would also say I wish they had reworked it so you could play in portrait mode because it's a landscape game.
Yeah, that's
but
weird.
That doesn't bother me as much because you still kind of need two hands to play it. So.
That's strange.
But it's a really good game. If you like these sorts of things and they always seem to be free to play and you're not into that, this one is paid and no BS. And it's got a pretty cute little story and lots and lots and lots of puzzles to play. So
$4.
If you like Picross or you like Picross or you like nonograms or you like all of those things because they're the same thing.
Picture crossword puzzles?
Picture crossword puzzles TM. Then yeah, PictoQuest, check it out. Came out this week. I am enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, that's good. I almost bought this on the Switch. I'm going to pick it up on my phone instead.
Yeah, pick it up on your phone. Probably even better on an iPad because of the big screen. So.
Yeah.
Company of Heroes, we've talked about this in the past, Fearroll Interactive is bringing that to the iPad, and they're always really good about this sort of stuff. They just released a big gameplay trailer showing off like 4 minutes of the game being played on the iPad or whatever, which is really cool. This was, I want to say, originally released in 2004, 2005, something like that. So it's really interesting to see them bringing these types of games to the iPad, and I don't think they've announced anything about it yet, but I also think that they'll figure out a way to make this be for the iPhone too, just like they've done with the Rome games and whatever.
I feel like every single time they release a game on the iPad, I'm like, I have no fucking idea how they'll ever do this on the iPhone. Like, this is like a super hardcore PC game that basically required a mouse, and it's kind of a miracle they have it working on the iPad.
Yeah.
And then like 3 weeks later, they'd be like, oh, here's the iPhone version. It works really good.
Yeah, we created this crazy, awesome UI that slides in and out or whatever. And yeah, they're so good at that sort of thing. So, but I feel like they like to give it the additional time and also maybe see how well it sells on iPad initially to see if it's even worth putting the work in or not. But I think there's enough fans of real-time strategy games and enough fans of Company of Heroes that I think that they'll end up doing this for iPhone too. But yeah, it'll be $13.99 when it launches on the iPad. It is up for pre-order right now and comes out February 13th, which is next Thursday. So I don't own an iPad, but maybe you can buy this next week and we'll talk about it.
So the I've gone through the entire day of the Animal Crossing, every new post on the Animal Crossing subreddit. There's only one person that even mentioned anything about the save game. It's got like two comments. Meanwhile, everything is like, look at this drawing I did. I made an Animal Crossing mug.
Are you kinda surprised, like, though?
Well, no, it really just goes to show you the demographic that's Animal Crossing. Yeah. I actually love that commercial that Nintendo put out where it was like a mom sitting there playing Animal Crossing and like her kid gets home, her daughter gets home from school and they play Animal Crossing together.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I wish there was more video game advertising that was like this instead of like Madden Bros.
Yeah. Someday. But, someday I'll play Animal Crossing with my kid too.
Yeah. Get started.
Get started. So moving on, Dandara or Dandara, I don't know. Do we have to argue about how you pronounce this one too?
I think David Martinez is Dandara and he would know because he was the one that published this. So
Dandara is a Metroidvania that came out 2 years ago, actually to the day as of yesterday, I believe. And it was interesting because we had seen it. It was originally announced as a mobile game like in 2016 or something like that. And we covered it way back then. And then since that time, the guy that made this game ended up wanting to bring it out for multiple platforms. Raw Fury got involved to be the publisher and really kind of let him take as much time as he needed to get it, you know, in tip-top shape to be released or whatever. But one of the interesting things about this game in particular is that it launched on every platform on the same day and for the same price across all platforms. So this was $15 on Switch, on Steam, on, I don't know, PS4 and Xbox or whatever, and on mobile. And it was the same game across everything, too. Same exact content, same exact game, same exact price, same exact release date, which you don't see very often, especially in mobile. It's usually one or the other first, and it's almost always cheaper on mobile for whatever dumb reason. So I always thought it was kind of cool that they launched it that way. However, about a year after release, they did end up permanently dropping the price to $6 on mobile and possibly even on other platforms. I haven't looked or anything like that, but I feel like they had a couple sales here and there, but they held pretty steady to that full price thing for a full year, which is pretty cool. And I think it did work out for them because a lot of people bought this on mobile. So anyway, hasn't been a whole lot happening in the world of Dandara since then, but to celebrate their 2-year anniversary, they've announced a big new update called the Trials of Fear expansion. And it's basically going to add in new areas to explore and new boss fights and stuff like that. But they're also going back and they want to make like a bigger emphasis on the story and kind of like the lore behind the world that the game takes place in. And so they're going back and kind of adding in additional like dialogue and cutscenes and stuff to like the NPCs that live in this world. And also adding in new characters and stuff that you can come across that all is hopefully going to kind of flesh out the whole story and the whole universe a little bit more. So I feel like that's kind of a good reason to go through and play through this again if you haven't before. They're also adding a lot of balancing and quality of life stuff. This is a game where if you haven't played it before, you actually kind of fling your character around rather than like running and jumping. Which is really interesting and really fun once you get used to it, but it's also kind of awkward. And then the way the world kind of spins around, there is really no up and down. So it's kind of it can be really disorienting too. I know that they've improved sort of like the lock-on mechanic of where when you fling yourself, where you grab onto. And I think they smoothed out like the last main level was kind of brutal in how it just threw everything in the kitchen sink at you. And kind of just made you, you know, slug your way through it. I think they kind of balanced all that stuff out too. So no release date or anything like that, but they do say it's coming soon. And so if you liked Dandara before, I think this is a good reason to play through it again. Or if you did not play this one before, I think it's probably, I kind of feel like best on mobile because I think playing with touchscreens is just how it was designed in the first place. Mm-hmm. When this new update comes out, that'd be a real good time to jump in for the first time. So.
Yeah, I was always really surprised that this game was as popular as it was on other platforms, because to me, this game always seemed like such a mobile game. Because like, so yeah, when you jump around in it, you don't have free movement. You're like, like basically like, you have like 45 degree angle, like notches, basically. Like you can jump 45 degrees to the right, straight up, 45 degrees to the left. Or something similar to that. I haven't played it in a long time, but that to me always was, because people on like Steam and stuff are pretty brutal with things that they're like, oh, this is a mobile game, get this baby shit off my PC kind of thing, you know. But like people really like Dandara, and I just like do not understand. I mean, it's a really cool game, don't get me wrong, but it's just like it seems really mobile-y.
I don't know
like what they did to somehow evade that.
Well, I remember a couple of years ago when we previewed this game on Switch at PAX or something like that.
Yeah.
And I remember playing it on Switch while I think you were taking the video and just being like, holy crap, I can't believe this plays so well with like a joystick and buttons, because it didn't feel like it should.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, whatever they did to figure that out, it plays well on every platform.
Well, I mean,
it plays fine with the controller, but it just feels more natural with the touchscreen, I think. So
the reason that the control scheme is the way that it is because like if you like, so the gravity in the game like doesn't really matter. It's like up is where like your character's head is facing. So like if you jump up and lock onto another platform, like the world kind of spins and now that is the new up.
If
you had free movement, I don't know how you would make that work beyond like maybe a button that's like a grab button or something rather weird like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the most unique games out there. And so, yeah, this big update is coming out to it pretty soon. And should be fun to check out what they've added to Dandara.
Hell yeah.
So this was kind of interesting. Riot announced that Teamfight Tactics, which is their take on the whole auto chess thing, which they released as a special mode inside League of Legends last year. And then during League's 10-year anniversary, like celebration or whatever, they announced a buttload of new games. And one of them being a Teamfight Tactics mobile spinoff separate game. And so they actually have started doing the closed beta testing this week in select countries. They didn't really go into detail on who gets in this beta or what countries there are. They just kind of are saying that it's going to start, and apparently there's people ready for that. But I don't know, because I was like, I'm signed up for this, but I don't know how.
I think the way I've seen some of these other things work is like you just like can download the game and shit like that, but there's a login, and like your login has to be flagged as like a beta tester or something like that to even get in. Otherwise, like it just doesn't do anything. I feel like Hearthstone did that maybe. I don't know. One of these bigger games did something like that.
And I could definitely see Riot doing something like that too. So,
yeah.
But anyway, we found out not long ago that they were targeting March for a full launch anyway. So they're going to be starting their beta testing stuff now, but they're still on target to launch it next month. So even if you don't get in on this closed beta, it's not like you're going to have to wait too much longer to play it, it sounds like. But they did release a new screenshot of the game. They released some new details about it too. One of the big things was that people wanted to know what the differences were between if you're playing on desktop and if you're playing on mobile. And basically they said everything that's not actual in-game stuff is different between the two platforms. So like all the UI and all the interface stuff for setting up games is different. Just because the desktop version didn't make sense for mobile. And so they kind of had to create their own sort of like for mobile system for doing all that stuff. But once you're actually in the game and playing, they are essentially the same between the two different platforms, and it will have crossplay. So I was kind of wondering too, when they were saying that it's not a direct port of the desktop version, how the crossplay would work. Cause you know, that just didn't make sense to me, but now it kind of does. And then things like chat and the social features that are in the desktop had to be scaled back for mobile. So there's not like full chat, but there's, you know, simplified
like an emote system kind of thing. Like yeah. That. Probably because the League of Legends community is the most toxic community on the internet. And
I want to be able to take that on the go with me, though.
The game would need to be rated adults only.
Yeah. There was something else, too, that you kept wondering.
Like if your unlocks are shared.
Yeah, so will my inventory of Little Legends crossover? What's a Little Legend? You know, is that what the characters are?
No fucking idea. If I don't know, man, I haven't engaged with any of these auto chess things because I don't know what the good one is, and I don't want to get involved in.
Well, it does say that if you log in using your account from PC, arena skins and Little Legends and other content will carry over.
See, that's cool.
And also, anything you earn in the mobile version will show up when you play on PC. So it sounds like, at least as far as the Teamfight Tactics stuff is concerned, everything will sync.
Yeah, see, I could see myself getting more into this one than the other ones because I'm already so invested in League of Legends just in general.
Already such a league head, a league gen.
A league nerd.
And then the other interesting tidbit of information that came out from this is that it's not going to have an iPad version on launch, which I feel like is bananas. To bring it to iPad, but they feel like it needs some additional work, and they don't want to release it until it feels ready. So at least initially, even for the March launch, it's only going to be for iPhones, or not just iPhones, but iOS and Android phones. So that was kind of interesting, but Teamfight Tactics, Riot's pretty much first mobile game. That's pretty exciting. Coming along well. And then this was a weird story that I noticed yesterday, browsing through the Twitter. Apparently there's a Crash Bandicoot Endless Runner being published by King. It's up for like pre-registration in certain countries right now on Android. This seems not surprising at all. I feel like if there's anybody that's set up for a endless running game, it's Crash Bandicoot, because like 90% of the console game's gameplay is him running from behind. So
this like when I saw people getting all mad about this, I was like, I thought there already was one. This just seems like the most obvious thing that there would be like a Crash Bandicoot Temple Run knockoff, right?
Well, you look at how many there's been multiple Sonic the Hedgehog ones that have done crazy good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you would think that this would have already been a thing, but apparently not. Somebody just happened that was searching for something on Facebook happened across the link to this game. I don't think there's been anything official announced about it. They might be trying to do the low-key soft launch sort of thing or whatever. I don't know. But there are some screenshots, and it looks like a Crash Bandicoot Endless Runner game. And
it's fine.
Yeah,
It'd probably be fine. I mean, the behind the back levels of Crash Bandicoot were great.
I
if
was
it's
really
endless, that
into,
that's fine.
Yeah, I was super into this. The first Sonic Dash, not was that what it was called, Sonic Dash? Whatever the behind the back Sonic, the first one was.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I don't know.
I was heavy into that. I loved that one, and played it a whole bunch. But it did get a little bit ridiculous after a while, where I started once I started realizing I'm playing just to like.
Right.
You know, play K like a daily login or, you know, something like that. I'm like, I'm going to stop because it feels like a chore. But for a long time, I really enjoyed it. So I could see a Crash Bandicoot one being similarly enjoyable. So, yeah, we'll see what comes of this. But as you remember, like, Activision bought King a couple of years ago for a good chunk of money. So it makes sense that they would be making this Crash Bandicoot game for them.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how mad this is making people on Twitter.
Really? Like, I didn't even notice any crazy
Like the real gamer crew were mad that like, oh, there's a new Crash Bandicoot game, but it's on mobile.
Dare they.
Which is like I don't understand like the logic there, because it's not like you know, the powers that be behind this were like, you know, you guys are making a new Crash Bandicoot console game, but you know what? Let's just like pull everyone off this project to make an endless runner on mobile.
No. Yeah. Or we'll just put the mobile company that we bought to work on it while we work on this other game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But this is cool. Like, so there's no like release date or anything. It's just kind of like a leak-ish sort of thing, right?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I don't think they're trying to hide it or anything like that. But it seemed like it was just something that people accidentally ran across. So be interesting to see. We'll keep an eye on new developments for Crash Bandicoot. And then this I just posted today. This is a very up my alley type of game. So there's a game series on desktop called Swords and Sandals, which is essentially by one guy. And they're these kind of goofy, like turn-based combat games, which feature like gladiator battles and stuff like that. But it's all very, very silly and, you know, cartoonish hand-drawn graphics and stuff like that. And it has grown kind of like a cult audience. And they've released a ton of different games over the last, like, 15 years. And so every once in a while, he'll branch out with the Swords and Sandals brand into, like, a different type of genre. And so this past December, they released Swords and Sandals Spartacus, which is, like, an action platformer with really awesome pixel art. And they released it on Steam. And it seems to be very well received over there. Well, somebody in our forums was digging around their website and noticed that there's a coming soon to Android and iOS little banner. And so I thought that was enough information to run with that this awesome action platformer that would be, I don't know, it's a very Jared game is what I will say, is coming to mobile someday. No dates or anything like that, but they say it is coming soon. And it just launched on Steam in December, so who knows when it will be. But definitely watch the trailer if you like action platforming games like Goblin Sword and stuff like that. Because this one looks awesome. It almost looks like a little Dead Cells-y.
Yeah, it's surprising. I was going to say, like, very Dead Cells-y.
Yeah. So pretty excited because this is – I'll never play something on Steam because I'm just not wired that way. So if it comes out on mobile, I'll play it. So that makes me very excited to see this. But definitely watch the trailer. And that's something I'll be keeping tabs on pretty closely.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Looks awesome.
That's our last story. Got any off-topic stuff to kind of blaze through all that?
Well, I was trying to blaze. We had 2 weeks of catching up to do.
I don't know what we're going to do next week. I'm in the process of moving to Tennessee.
Yeah.
My house will be hopefully completely packed up on Friday to leave first thing Saturday. We could probably record something on my laptop. Might not be a video, though.
Yeah, whatever you can end up doing. I don't know if we have to skip a week so soon again. I guess we can, but
no, I'll make something happen. I just don't know if, because I'll have to record on my. I usually do this all on my PC. I can do audio on my laptop. I haven't fiddled around with getting all the video stuff working.
It probably would be smart of me to figure out how to record a podcast on my own if I had to, and maybe bank a couple of backup guests or backup hosts for those moments. Yeah, maybe I'll look into that if
next week will be fine. I feel like we'll have everything done by like Wednesday, and we'll be like sitting around being like, all right, now what? The house is empty.
Right.
I'm living out of a suitcase in my own house. This is weird.
Yeah, hopefully, all your rental doesn't fall through.
No,
disaster doesn't
I
happen
already
for
paid for it and everything, so it
you.
would be pretty, it would be a massive clusterfuck if it did, so.
Yep. Yeah,
I
I had
don't
friends
know.
that happened too, and they had to live out of their packed up boxes for like 9 months till they bought a house.
Like a rent, like I already had a lease signed and everything, and they were like, actually, no.
Well, no, actually, they were moving from a rental to a house that they had bought, but it was a foreclosure, so it goes through a different process. And it took like 6 months to hear back from the bank, one way or the other. And it turned out that there was like a lien on the house that nobody disclosed that was buried
Oh.
or something like that. And so basically, literally, in like the 11th hour of like, hey, you're going to get your keys tomorrow, it was like, oh, you're not getting the house at all now, actually.
That's
Sorry. And that's that.
surprising.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if they do things differently in California, because like the title search thing is like a part of like getting your mortgage in Illinois here. Like they will not loan you money if there is any kind of like weird shit on the house.
If I remember right, it was like the house had been transferred through like so many different things that like the paper trail for it was just such a clusterfuck that that's what was taking the bank so long in the first place to sort through, and that they just it by the time they got to the end of the line is when they came across this like lien or whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, 'cause like when I bought my house I have now, I remember, 'cause I was just looking for like something cheap that I could, I'm a pretty handy guy, I can fix shit up, like that's fine. And so I looked at like I looked into a couple like foreclosures and short sales and stuff, and my realtor was like, dude, you do not like any savings that you have on the house will be deleted by time that you spend like trying to get any kind of deal done, because like, which was insane to me, because I would feel like if I was a bank and I had a house that whoever stopped paying the mortgage on, and I had someone else that was like, please let me pay you for this.
You think they'd be jumping at
Yeah, I'd
the
be like, oh,
opportunity?
all right, shit. Yeah, fast track this. This is great. Instead of it taking five times as long as a traditional real estate transaction.
Yeah, I don't get
Interesting.
it either. It seems weird, but
Yeah. Because like the house that I was looking at buying
whatever.
before it fell through, it was like it was vacant and stuff, and they were like, as fast as you can get financing, we can close on this. So it was like, and the mortgage people I was talking to was like, oh, probably can get done like a week, maybe a week and a half. And I was like, all right, cool, perfect.
Let's do this. What's the why wait?
Yeah, so I don't know. That's all I got. So we'll see what happens next week, and be
That'll be fun.
reporting.
You'll be a Tennessean. Is that what you would call yourself?
It's the volunteer state, so I don't know.
Yeah. Are you gonna volunteer?
No, I volunteer for nothing.
Here's a question for you. How hard is it to leave your Phoenix club? Are you gonna be sad to not
I'm
have that?
actually really bummed out. I've been emailing like so they I will be a member for life, basically, just an out of state member, and they don't make you pay anymore. But you
But if you
get
ever come back and visit or whatever, you can just go there.
Yeah, you can come whenever you want when you're back in town and stuff, which is a bit of a bummer, but I don't
Do they
know.
have like sister campuses or sister?
No. But I don't know, it's probably a better thing. Like I'm trying to eat better and drink less and stuff, and like it's been bad having the ability to just like walk 10 minutes and be at a
$3
place.
beers and like $4
Yeah,
burgers and stuff.
just yeah, like seriously, like, unbelievably cheap beer and food, but like all the food comes out of a deep fryer and
Oh, that place is awesome, though. I had so much fun when we went there.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I really want to look into joining the VFW that's walking distance to my
You
house,
should,
because.
dude. You should like I'm serious. Like you can just walk in there. They'll flip their shit that you're
Really?
interested in joining. Like they don't care.
I notice all the time that they have like a calendar of events, and so they'll do public events on the weekends and stuff, like usually like pancake breakfasts or whatever. But I'll drive by sometimes, and there's a shit ton of people there. And but just for like a regular casual nightly place that I could walk to.
Dude, that place, I bet you anything that that VFW is very close to the situation at the Phoenix Club, which is like it's a bunch of old people hanging around, ultra cheap beers, but nothing special like Bud Light and stuff. Pizzas probably for really cheap, cooked in those amazing little silver machines that can turn a frozen pizza into like the best thing you've put in your mouth.
Turbo Chef. Yeah, I need to look into that. I've been thinking about it for a while. And there's a giant cannon out front, which I think is cool. Maybe they'd let me ride the cannon.
Yeah, but seriously, when we joined our VFW, like the door was locked. I knew there were people there, so we just like knocked on the door and they let us
No
in. I
shit.
was just like, "Hey, can we join?" And originally, I thought they were going to be like, "Oh, you need to provide proof that you were in the army or whatever." And they're just like, "Yeah, sure, come on down. It's $25." And yeah, they give you a key, and you're an official member of the VFW. Those organizations are pretty much dying because, like, they all started after World War II, and you had all these soldiers that came back and were like just looking for a place to chill and like hang out with their buddies and stuff. But, you know, with the forever war that we're in right now, like, you don't really have these kind of like mass waves of people coming back.
Right.
You know, it's just like a constant war that never ends. So, you know, it's just kind of like a dying generation thing with most of those. Like, the VFW Miami is like kind of depressing, like how few people actually go there. Like, we almost never go there, but I always pay my dues every year because I'm like, man, at least I can do is like give these guys 25 bucks to like keep the lights on.
Right. Seriously.
So I don't know. You got anything else, or should we drive this podcast into an iceberg and sink in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean?
It's time to drive it into an iceberg, I guess. So thank you guys so much for listening. Again, sorry we didn't have an episode last week, but it sounds like we should be around next week, possibly.
Won't be a problem.
In the midst of Eli's big move.
Big move.
As I forgot to mention, as I usually do, Touch Arcade is primarily sponsored through primarily supported by our Patreon readers and listeners and viewers. So if you like Touch Arcade and want to see it continue to exist, check out patreon.com/TouchArcade and consider throwing a little support our way. It's all very much appreciated. And again, thank you to any of our new Patreons over the last like month or so. We definitely had an uptick in people joining in, which is always very humbling, and just can't thank you enough for that. You can also help us out by doing your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon, and we'll get a little piece of anything you'd be buying at no additional cost to you. We keep it out of that greedy Jeff Bezos' pocket so he doesn't just go waste it on rockets or whatever. Other than that, I think that's everything. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.
See ya.